So I was watching it on YouTube.
It's okay. You were muted anyway, so.
Wait, how long was I muted?
Since the beginning there.
So they missed the whole intro?
Yeah.
They missed me talking?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Is that a slingshot?
Yeah. Slingshot season. Hey, let's run it.
Hey. Grace hit me like, boom. Can't miss, no. God with me, whole squad gon' win. Devil try to throw shade. I grin, cause the light too bright where I've been.
Welcome to the show, everybody. Jack is sleeping. I literally told Jack before we went live that he needs to bring alacrity and he needs to bring the energy, and he is slipping up.
Oh, no.
One more chance, Jack, and you're fired.
Great.
How's everybody doing today? Good? I'm not talking to you, Jack.
We're doing great.
Great. Awesome. We got off to a rough start there. Jack, how was the video? Because I wasn't even watching the right one.
Did
it go smooth?
No, not really.
Oh, great. Okay. So we go through all this trouble of making AI video for it not to actually play. Great. Great. Jack's checked out now.
He's done. Next time.
He's done. So we were, first of all, this episode is brought to you by the Confessionals memberships, right? Is that right, guys? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So if you want to join the members community, feel free to do so. Hundreds of member episodes waiting for you in the members community. So feel free to join that if you would like. All right. Now that we got that out of the way, this was a non-eventful past few days that we were supposed to have eventful things happening, right, Derek?
Yeah, we ended up pivoting and not going out to our interview in Texas. So we kind of ended up canceling our whole little trip.
Yes.
Yes. So we did not see the Ozark Howler, nor did we go and venture in the woods there. But we have future fun things in store.
We got a flat tire and we couldn't drive this trip now because nobody knew how to change a tire. And so we were just stuck sitting in the driveway. It was a real bummer. It was frustrating. But it is what it is. No, in all honesty, we didn't get a flat tire. We just made a pivot because it felt like the trip was going to be costing more than we were going to actually bring in from the trip.
Fair.
And we were like,
it kept adding up.
At some point you're thinking, why am I doing this? And so, logistically speaking, in March, I'm still undecided if Jack's coming or not, but you and I will be in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Doing a filming for The Counter season 2. If you have not checked out The Counter, you're missing out. Go over to Troy Brewer's YouTube channel and check out The Counter episodes they've been posting. I think there's probably about 5 or 6 up right now. And there's about 4, I think we filmed 4 or 9 or 10. So there's probably about 4 or 5 more that are going to be released. They release every other Tuesday. And I think this coming Tuesday is another Counter episode. And basically, The Counter is me, Troy Brewer, Alan DiDio, Joseph Z, Darren Stott, and Brian Schwartz. And we got together and filmed a legit TV show. Like it's a legit TV show. You have a count, like literally a counter, which is not the reason why it's called The Counter, but we're sitting at a counter that was like a TV set design build, and you know, everything's professional. And it's us talking about all the strange topics that typically don't get talked about on a Sunday morning. They talked about Nephilim giants, dreams, demonic attacks during dreams, portals, all that kind of stuff we talk about on these different episodes. And Brian Schwartz and myself rotate in and out of the episode. So I think I'm on like 4 or 5 and Brian's on 4 or 5. I can't remember how many we shot. But anyways, The Counter is an awesome TV show. You guys can definitely check it out if you have not done so yet. But season 2 of The Counter is looking like probably in March we're filming. And so I'll be down in Dallas down there. And I'm thinking, if I'm going to Dallas in March and the Ozarks are between here and Dallas, why not just wait until...
reschedule things when we're there.
Like, yeah. Like, why not just make this more logistically sound and cost efficient for the business account because everybody likes to eat dinner. So That's what kind of happened there. We still definitely plan on checking out the Ozark Howler. And actually, didn't Josh send us a video of something with the with the Ozarks?
He's got like a trailer of his documentary that he sent us.
Yeah, let me, Jack, is that in the yeah, it is. The video's in the studio chat on the messages. If you want to download that and get it ready, and you can throw it up on for the people to check out. I think it'd be kind of cool, right?
Yeah, it'd be cool.
Yeah. So if you missed last week's episode, we talked about a lot. I don't even remember what we talked about, to be honest with you. What did we talk about? Outside the Ozark Howler. I don't even remember. Crickets. Can we get the sound drop of crickets? I mean.
I don't remember what we talked about. It was a more like cryptid focused show, I believe.
Yeah, it was. It was. And so the idea was that I think we went and broke down some videos that we had before. But I had two episodes now where I had guests talking about this white hairy beast in the Ozarks or the Ozarks area. And we were going to go, because we were thinking we were going to be passing through, we were going to stop, and that just didn't happen. So it's all right. We all breathe. It's okay. I did have a thought though before we left, and I don't think this weighed into my decision. Maybe psychologically, subconsciously it did. But I had this thought before we canceled the trip last week that I should get an update on my life insurance policy.
The Holy Spirit was talking to you.
And I was like, ooh, I'm going to be running around. And then I started getting worried that I wasn't going to make it back from the trip, which is typical. Like I typically go down those thoughts where I'm just like, what if I die? And that's why, like, usually when I leave the house, I'm telling Lindsay, like, I go through all the guns. And I'm like, this is how this one works. This is how this one works. This is where all the ammo is. This is how you do this. I'm like, if I die, this is what needs to happen with the show. And
so that's why you forget your computer bag when we're trying to leave all the time.
Yeah. Wait, did I do that?
You did.
When did I do that?
What trip was that, Jack?
I did.
We were heading out.
That was whatever the most recent one was. I don't remember what it was.
Okay. Yeah. Well, anyways, that is kind of how the whole week went last week. I basically was scared I was going to die, so I decided not to go and blamed it on the bank account. Sound right?
That sounds about right. Yeah, no, that's fair. That's fair. You gotta listen to your intuition sometimes. So
I honestly, if I did that though, I wouldn't do anything because I'm constantly worrying that I'm going to die on these trips. So speaking of trips, I'm thinking it'd be kind of fun to do some, you know, exploration in a different way. When I started doing video documentary type stuff back in the day, I wasn't exactly sure what I was getting into, and I wasn't sure how I wanted it to look. In fact, it went through two different titles to now there's no titles of what I do. So it's like initially it was going to be called Chasing Legends. And then this is back when the audience was much smaller and I thought that I had to appeal to every individual person who ever consumes my content, make sure everybody likes every move I make. And so I was constantly micromanaging like comments, like looking and making sure everybody is happy with what I just dropped. And it was just a nightmare. Headache city. My word of advice to new creators is don't do that. Just create what you like, put it out for the world to consume, sink or float. And I remember people were like borderline irate over the name Chasing Legends because apparently somebody else was already doing that. And so I was like, okay, I can't do that. I got to redo this whole thing. And Jack, do you remember what we went to after that?
Legion of Legends.
Legion of Legends.
Legion of Legends.
Alliteration. And that's a bad title, I think. But I was calling it Legion of Legends. And that was when we went to Expedition Dog Man. And my thought going into that was not that we're going to shoot a documentary that's going to spawn other documentaries and this whole process that now I have no hands on. I mean, it went from me jump-starting it to me saying, I want nothing to do with this. Just show, tell me when to show up and have fun. I don't want to do any of this production planning stuff, nightmare. But when we went to Kentucky to hunt the dog man, it was Kyle who came up with Legion of Legends. Now that I think about it, he suggested it. We went there and I thought this was just going to be a YouTube video that like, you know, I don't know. It was just going to be a YouTube video where I go walk around the woods, documenting a location that a legendary story happened on my show. Episode 335, if people aren't sure. What do they call it? Dog versus Dog Man is what it's called. Well, I go down there and there's just tons of talent around me that I didn't realize I recruited. And just watching it unfold at random with no plan whatsoever, it was becoming very apparent that we had our hands on something that could be really cool, right? Mm-hmm. And so it went in this whole other direction that I had no plan for. And now I feel like I'm starting to circle back around to the original idea, but in a different way. So like when you're running around the woods hunting monsters, there's, I don't know, I mean, there's probably other ways to go about doing it, but there's a certain way that we have traditionally come to do it, you know? And there's methodologies, there's theories as to what these things are that affect how we go about the whole thing. But I kind of want to go into more of a, I'm very hesitant to say this word, but I'm going to say it, but please don't misunderstand me. A journalistic route. I'm not a journalist and I refuse to pretend to be one. Mm-hmm. But I think there's room to go to areas that have pretty cool legends and explore the area along with the community, the story, and what makes the legend so long standing. So there's so many different things just in our country. Worldwide, there's tons, right? For instance, one that's not technically in our country, it's over water, is the Bermuda Triangle. That's a legend that is longstanding. And it would be kind of interesting to have a perspective. I'm not saying I'm going to go do this because I have zero interest in going to do this, but somebody else should do this. going down there.
It's warm and sunny. You don't want to put your swim trunks on?
No. No.
No.
I'm good. But going down there and really exploring on an independent level, the legend. So like you have History Channel, all these other big name companies who will take on these projects, but they're filled with producers who are actually crafting the show who are not interested in these topics. They're just looking at how can I take this project and make it the most profitable for the network. That's the business of the game. And they give a lot of hooks to the world, you and I, to get us sucked into something that the producer who's making it themselves has zero interest in actually the product and the end game of it, whether it's true or not. They don't care. They're not that interested in. They're just interested in what the world can do for them by consuming the product they make. So they're just trying to basically hook you with that and not actually explore anything. And I have countless of examples of that I've been told throughout the years. One is in Finding Bigfoot, when I had Bobo on the show, this is years ago. I mean, it was before episode 500, I think. We were talking about a bunch of different stuff, but he talked about how they were out in Pennsylvania. I think they were doing, I forget the location's name, but there was a tornado that went through there, this valley, and it destroyed this train bridge. And they were investigating that specific area because of the legend of Bigfoot out there. Anyways, they wound up on some kind of lake or something in a boat. And he's like, I forget how he told the story, but he's like, legit, there was a water monster. There's like some kind of sea creature in this lake. It was huge. He was like, it's absolutely insanely huge. And and everybody saw it. And I said, why didn't that make the show? And he goes, because it's called Finding Bigfoot, not Finding Water Monsters. So there's producers who are not in it for the adventure. They're in it for the product. And I understand the business side of that and how you need to stay focused or else, you know, it becomes the confessionals. It's just a mixed bag, right? Mm-hmm. But for on our end, I think that we could maybe go out to some of these spots and do true curiosity-driven questioning and seeking. You know, I don't want to say investigating because that has almost a connotation of, let me investigate this and get to the truth of the matter. It's not a matter of getting to the truth of it. It's just getting to the baseline. Like, what is this?
Right, like storytelling. Like, allow the story and the experiences tell the story. Not necessarily like have a set, like this is what we're going to go search. We're going to go search Bigfoot. It's like whatever happens on that trip will be the story. Mm. And it's just a reason for us to get out in the woods, for you to put your Indiana Jones hat on and get back out there.
I don't have an Indiana Jones hat.
We need to get him an Indiana Jones hat.
I will not wear it. I will not wear it. I will not wear it. There's too many guys that run around in their character hats. I'm not one of them. That's why I shave my head. That's my character.
That's your character?
I gotta keep, yeah.
We love it.
But what are some areas, and I'm going to put you on the spot, but like, what are some areas that you think could fit that bill for investigation? Let me warm you up because I'll let you think about that. When I was looking at, because this idea popped up, because what happened was I was watching some YouTube videos of independent journalists, and that's what I'm calling, I don't know what they would call themselves, but investigating just different things like this, what's called Yes Theory is the YouTube channel. Yeah. They went to overseas to this like ghost city across from Singapore that was built up, and they stayed in a room there in this like giant, I mean, I'm talking like, it's supposed to house millions of people, and like 9,000 people live there. And so you can walk the entire city and barely see anybody. There's people there, there's security there, but it's just, it's really weird. And they went there and documented their journey of exploring the area. But within the documentation of it, they were answering the question of why, you know, and by just seeking answers through locals. And I don't know if they ever even got to the answer of the why, other than just, this is what it is, you know? And it the story kind of wrote itself as they went through it. Mm. Another one that I saw, they went to Scotland and they explored, I guess Scotland has over 3,000 ancient castles that are abandoned, and they were exploring castles. And it was kind of cool. They had like a sticky part of it where they had these two guys in the UK that are world strongmen in those strongmen competitions. They brought them with. These guys are massive.
Huge guys.
They look like, they look like giants. I mean, you're seeing these what I perceive to be normal sized men that, without seeing the giants next to them, you're probably thinking they're, you know, 5'8" to 5'10", maybe 6 feet. And then you see these massive hulking individuals standing next to them, and it looks like they're 7+ feet, and they're as wide as they are tall. Mm-hmm. And it's like they're Nephilim blood, you know? And it's crazy. And so they had these guys coming with them to explore, and just seeing them like sitting down, like they get this big car for the UK, not for here.
Yeah, that's true. And international cars are so tiny.
Yeah, these guys are like, you know, their feet are hanging out the window essentially.
Fred Flintstone.
They're like, I can do this. Oh, they're probably begging for F-150s over there.
Yeah.
But so them just exploring these castles, it like, I'm watching it, I'm like, it's like itching that adventure in me, mm-hmm. but it's also itching the story in me. And they're like, each one they went to, they kind of gave a little bit of a history of what they knew about it as they were going through it, not like stand there in front of it and, here today I'm at so and so castle and let me tell you the history of it before we go in. It was just like, as they're going in, they're talking about the history, you know, overdubbing and things like that. It was really well done. And I was like, I wonder if there's room to do something like that with my interests, you know? Because I see a lot of these guys doing doing these things with like cultural type stuff. Like this other guy went into the tunnels of Las Vegas. Apparently there's like tons of tunnels underneath Vegas and people live down there. They're homeless people, but they call them the mole people, I think, because they go in these tunnels and they don't come out ever. The only time they ever come out is probably at night to go through trash, to get food and supplies, to go back into their tunnels. Or when there's a flood. So like these tunnels are meant to siphon water when rain comes, so the city doesn't flood. And it seems like these tunnels actually get flooded fast. And so every time this happens, there's somebody that probably loses their life. And like the people that this guy was interviewing, they've all seemed to have seen such things. Like the one person he talked to barely survived the last flood. But this one lady was down there for 8 to 9 years. And so they're talking about how like it's its own little government down there. Like people do what they want and there's no repercussions. And it's just a dangerous thing. That's but crazy. Like it was story driven, adventure seeking. Mm-hmm. And I was like, there's got to be a way to do this. And I started thinking about local legends here, like the Brown Mountain Lights. And I always get the two confused. And I had Jack look it up, Saratoga Lights, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if you could have that video queued up, that'd be cool. Because these, there's legends of lights appearing with no explanation. And Brown Mountain Lights is local to us. It's on the other side of the border in North Carolina. We could probably be there in a couple hours. And it got me wondering, like, what is not only the legend behind this and the history, but what are the locals, the people who live in that area, say about it? I bet if we went out there, we could find people with just different perspectives of it. Some people may never heard of it. Some people have heard of it and think it's bunk. Some people may have heard of it and believe it. And some people may have even seen it. And it's like, can we walk around exploring the area, openly questioning how is this possible? Why is this possible? And talk to random people along the way. And would that be something that would be engaging for people to consume?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I don't know. And so maybe people can let us know in the chat, in the comment section, you know, if they think that something like that would be fun if we went and did this kind of stuff. But I'm thinking it could be like 20, 30, 40 minute videos. It doesn't have to be like this whole full blown documentary.
Yeah.
But then there's like the Saratoga Lights, which is a similar legend. And that's down in Texas, I believe, where these lights on this road appear and they have seemingly no explanation except for the one video Jack clicked on. it was like, oh, there's the lights, and as it gets closer and closer, it's a car. But
that would be the worst.
This is something that's been going on for a really long time. Mm-hmm. From what I understand, before cars were even around in Saratoga, especially Brown Mountain, because the Cherokee talk about these lights, and so it makes you wonder what are they, you know, and how can we explore it? Jack, show them that video of the Saratoga lights. Yeah, so I mean that's a little short of theoretically Saratoga Lights, and I don't know. I find that stuff interesting, and I think I would find it even more interesting if I got boots on the ground just to kind of walk around and explore the area, get the layout of the land, talk to locals. I think that's the big thing, is just talking to locals and having a real exchange that's documented, you know, and learning from people. I don't know. I feel like there's been a lot of people that have done this though. So as I was watching, I was like, this is probably a really bad idea. So, but well, building on a really bad idea, go ahead, Derek.
Well, there's some really cool archaeology in our area, and Tennessee, there's this place called Chitata Wall. Mm. And they were mining and excavating this area, and the wall started collapsing. And inside the wall, they found like Hebrew writing. And so we're actually going to go check that out. That's down in the Cleveland local museum. And we're going to go see what it looks like and begin our adventures with some local archaeology. Also, there is the Hebrew tablet of the Bat Creek stone that was found. And that was allegedly found on top of a burial mound that's now underwater. But we may be able to go explore that as well and see what's going on there.
You know, speaking of burial mound, I was driving around with Pastor Troy Brewer a few weeks ago here, and he and I drove by a location, and he pointed out right away. He's like, "That's not natural." He said, "That's a mound," and I was like, "Huh, I never really thought about it or noticed it." Hmm. And then they built a road right through the side of it, and I was like, "Well, I'll get my shovels,
get our metal detectors,
get
back
to
out.
Digging." So yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's interesting about this area and the history of it. And so there's basically what you're saying. There's two different types of tablets that have writing on.
Yeah. So the one was written on the wall. And so they have fragments of like the cliff wall that was like collapsed. And so there's writings there that we're going to go investigate.
And what was the language?
They think it might be Hebrew. The Batstone one might be Macedonian as well. So we're going to go and investigate and see what we find. That the stone, even though some people have said it's a fraud, because that's what always comes up with these things that go against the history. It's actually in the Museum of in the University of Tennessee. So we can go observe that, and then we're going to go do our own ground exploration and see what we can find.
Hmm. Awesome. Yeah. That's all news to me. So it sounds good.
And it's all really local. And this area is just, there's so much deep history because these mountains are so old.
There's a lot of history here. I mean, even like so you had the Brown Mountain Lights, which is, you know, basically this area, just a different state. Mm-hmm. The Cherokee have seen it for as long as time goes back. And you know, they've tried to explain it away with, you know, car lights to, you know, light pollution, all this stuff. But when you take it in consideration the timeline, when the Cherokees are reporting this stuff and they've been here longer than the cars and all that stuff, it really gives you a whole other perspective. Then you think about the Cherokee and the different legends that they have with the different entities in the areas. Is this a manifestation of a territorial spirit in this area that continually shows its authority by manifesting like this? Because people see these lights, but they can never get to the lights. It's just like, it seems like they're always seemingly out of reach. Unless there's a chosen one, maybe one day. Maybe I'll be the chosen one, and I'll show up, and I'll actually get closer and closer to light, and then it'll start calling me its chosen one, and it'll say, "I am Hathor, the Holy Spirit, come as the divine feminine to enlighten all humanity, starting in East Tennessee."
Just make sure your life policy is signed up.
Yeah, I need to get my life insurance policy. I don't know. I think it's, I mean, you even have under Norris Lake, the legend of the Egyptian temple. So when they were excavating, because Norris Lake is a man-made lake, it has a dam on it. When they're excavating and digging it up, they came across these ruins, and they took pictures of it. And I think it was a professor in the UK, that like an archaeological professor in the UK, dare I say Oxford? I don't know, but let's just say Oxford for legitimacy. One of these guys, they looked at it and they right away said, "Those are Egyptian ruins. Where is that at?" Well, that's in the Americas, in East Tennessee. And it was like, huh, you know. So do in East Tennessee right here, we have possible Hebrew, possible Egyptian. What was the other one you said?
Macedonian.
We already have the Cherokee that are well established here and their legends.
Mayan civilization was also on the edge out here.
Yeah, just what, in North Georgia, right?
Yeah, North Georgia, like this southern part.
There's a spot in Georgia, I don't know if it's north or south, but there's a spot that is guarded by our military, and they won't let anybody in or out, and it's an archaeological site that legend has it is Mayan ruins. Mm. What was his name? I forget his name. First name Scott Walter from History Channel, Unearthing America, I think it's called.
Yep. That's right.
He tried doing an episode on that and they wouldn't let him through. And so not even the History Channel could get in there, you know, which means, you know, it's legit.
And that's right in the area where the Moonite people are alleged. The lore of that is in Northern Georgia as well.
Yes.
And they would build certain stone walls.
So like everything that we're talking about right now, everything we just mentioned, it could be its own video just in this area.
Sure.
And so I was just thinking like, man, would this be something that people would like? Like the actual, just exploring the story not trying to create the story. Like when we're out in the woods hunting monsters, we're essentially creating our own story within a legend of that area. Mm-hmm. Instead of doing that, just exploring a story in real time and just seeing what it is, you know? And maybe within that, there is a story that develops. I don't know. But I don't know. I think it's interesting stuff. And then you have the, I mentioned this to you earlier, you have Nebo Mountain here. And then the Bible, it refers to, I think in two different spots, Mount Nebo. And so it's like, is there something there as far as all these different correlations to ancient times, to present times here in this area, biblical archaeology, biblical facts and artifacts versus locations being named after areas from the Bible. Like that just seems like a weird pull. Like I understand in Bethlehem, there's Nazareth, there's Bethlehem. Did I say in Bethlehem?
In Pennsylvania.
In Pennsylvania, there are cities called Nazareth, Bethlehem, Ephrata,
Egypt.
Mm-hmm. Like there's all these different areas, but like calling a place Mount Nebo here in East Tennessee, and then it's not even like a town. It's literally a location that police can't go to because they won't be allowed to leave. Hmm. Like <That's crazy. laughs> it's a lawless land here in East Tennessee that whenever somebody moves, it seems like to me, because it happened to me a million times when I first moved here and I started talking to locals, one of the first things they would always say to me is stay away from Mount Nebo or Nebo Mountain. Stay away from Nebo Mountain. I'm like, well, now I want to go. You know, but I gotta get my life insurance up first, you know? So, but it's just like, I don't know. It seems interesting. What's the rock that I couldn't spell earlier? Was that what you were talking about with the writing?
Oh, the Judicola, the giant?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's out in Western North Carolina, but like...
Is that the one with the picture with your son was standing next to?
Yeah.
Jack has that too?
Yep. Yeah.
All right, Jack knows what to do.
But so that's really interesting. It's a giant boulder with engravings, and they think it could be like a star map. On the lower right, they think there's like a 6-finger handprint on the stone itself. And so that's the legend, is that there was the giant of the mountains of North Carolina out there.
I do remember this because wasn't it something about the stone being thrown there or something?
Yeah, I think so. So those are all the different drawings as they've been able to decipher it. It's really interesting stuff, man. There's so much ancient history that is really just thrown under the rug because it doesn't fit the narrative. Like a lot of what we understand for the Native American history. Do you know the Cherokee weren't even from, like we think they're from Oklahoma or we think they're from Tennessee. They're actually from New York.
Really?
Yeah. They actually got kicked out of the Iroquois tribes. And that's why they came down here and they like basically took over this area.
They were rebels.
Yeah. So they don't even have like long-standing history for the region of the Smokies.
That's interesting. So imagine they get kicked out, they migrate south, and then they encounter all this craziness down here.
Oh, yeah.
And so like, it's all like news to them. They're just like, whoa, 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 there's these giants running around and there's these ancient entities that are manifesting in lights. And there's this Lilith character popping in and out.
Mm-hmm.
We recognize her from up north, but she's down here too. you know, it's just, that's really interesting.
Yeah. And the reason that the Cherokee got so popular is because there was a gentleman named Sequoia and he actually created a alphabet to English. So they were able to translate their verbal language, write it down, and then actually bring it into English. And that's why it kind of runs the gamut of all of what we understand as Indian history, Native American history. But there's so much prehistory that we don't even begin to scratch the surface of.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, that's really cool stuff. And the thing is, like, this is all, like, it makes you wonder, like, there's a line being walked where it's like, where's the historical narrative being played with versus just lost,
mm-hmm.
you know? And maybe it's just a lack of knowledge. And then the people who are in a spot to educate have their own narrative. And so they just build off that, you know? It's interesting because when you look into this stuff, I have a feeling the more you look into it, the more you're going to see that there's just this whole other side of understanding that is just not really touched on in the mainstream. Like there's no way you're going to find an academic, a local academic here that's going to be like, oh yeah, I think maybe the Israelites were here long, long ago.
Right.
Like that's not happening.
Possibly a Mormon one, yes. But other than that, no.
Why do you say Mormon?
That's part of their belief system is that the early Jews, like, so that when Joseph Smith saw his vision that there was a secret tribe of Israel still in America.
Interesting.
So that's part of like their theology.
It's interesting because, I mean, Joseph's, I almost said Joseph Z.
Sorry, Joseph Z, you're not associated.
That's why I paused. I was like, okay. But we'll just say he has this vision. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because, you know, from my perspective, you know, beings of light appearing and manifesting, like, I think that's a classic example, you know? And it built this whole narrative and religion off of it. But could it be that he actually, I think he probably did have, I don't think he was a joker. I don't think he was, you know, let me just make this whole thing up. I think he actually had an experience. Mm. And I think whatever appeared before him gave him information. And often in these kind of situations, we see half-truths, right? Mm-hmm. So could it be that that part of it was true?
Yeah, I mean, there's an interesting thought with the tribe of Dan. They were a coastal tribe, and there's actually a tribe of Danoi. They were actually mixed with the Phoenicians, the Greeks, that they could have traveled out to America. There's missing copper mines that in Michigan.
Yes, yes.
And they basically have proven that that's how the great Bronze Age emerged, was from the copper mines in North America. So someone was traveling across the ocean well before Columbus ever landed in America.
Yeah, we can scrap that whole idea, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Like, I think we've done that a long time ago.
Yeah, but if it was a tribe like the tribe of Dan, it could have been a tribe of Israel.
Mm. Complex history.
Complex.
It. But it ain't real. It ain't true. It's all fake. Everything's fake, including Project Bluebeam. so we have this whole UFO, UAP phenomena that has been constantly popping in and out since the show's inception. I mean, literally October 2017 is the first time that actually started happening. So I wasn't a year into the show before, you know, disclosure started. And I remember when that whole thing happened, I still had zero interest really in UFOs, aliens. I was just like, don't want to talk about it. And so when the disclosure started happening, everybody's like, freaking out. I'm like, what's the big deal? Like, I don't understand. Why is everybody freaking out? You know, I was kind of like desensitized, I suppose, at that time, but I didn't really understand the gravity of what it was going to do culturally. It wasn't until years later that I actually really contemplated what was happening around me. And there are things that happen throughout the past few years that kind of make you step back and be like, whoa, that is, maybe that's a new level to the game, or whoa, that's another page that hasn't been turned yet. And you start seeing things kind of come together. We were talking about stories earlier, and you start seeing things start coming together in a narrative and how this all plays out. And we've seen this over and over again throughout time. We know that there's the legend of Area 51 that has government. It's always government involvement, which is mm-hmm. really interesting. Yeah, the Area 51. Speaking of, I think, didn't Joel and Isaac Weissup recently do like a episode or two on 1947?
Yeah, on like how much was going on in 1947.
Yeah, is that a swap cat? Is that an episode or a series that they did?
It was a 2-episode series.
Okay, so Free the Rabbits and, wow, I'm doing it again.
Occult. Symbolism in pop culture.
Occult symbolism in pop culture. Isaac, your title's so long. both shows have the breakdown, but they did a deep dive into that whole thing. But as far back as you look, there's chicanery, there's manipulation, there's taking a narrative and spinning it for agendas. And you got the, what president was it that met with the aliens on the tarmac? Was it Eisenhower? That where supposedly he struck a deal up.
Him or Truman, yeah, I can't remember.
I think it was Eisenhower. I don't remember, but struck a deal up with the aliens, and they actually were given permission to take some humans for exchange for technology. And these are all just legends, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I don't have like a signed you know, statement saying that this is all true, you know.
Well, they deny everything.
But, so. You know, it, and I even heard that that agreement had expired and the entities, is what I'll call them, continue to take and abduct, which doesn't surprise me, mm-hmm. right? But it was actually like basically two birds with one stone. You know, like if you think about the perspective of UFOs, aliens, what are they? I won't say 100% on anything, but I lean heavily that a large majority is entities from other realms that are inserting their own agendas on mankind through facades. Mm. And we know that when you go down the fallen angel route, how they taught man how to do things that we weren't supposed to know how to do. And we talked about how recently, I think I talked about this, how the, of course they would have taught, it was this, I think it was last week on the recording for the members. That's what it was. When we were talking about the decoding book, Cody book, which mm-hmm. by the way, people are going to love if they get, and we were talking about weaponry and how they would have passed, if they're willing to teach humans, they're going to definitely teach their Nephilim offspring, and the Nephilim are going to teach their offspring. And so there's this like passing down of knowledge when it comes to weaponry, technology. Mm-hmm. And then, so if that's the case, then if, say the meeting on the tarmac is true, they literally got a leader over humans to say, yes, you can take a healthy portion of people mm. in exchange for technology, when all they wanted to do was take people anyways and give us technology anyways.
Mm.
You know, so it's like, if you look at the history of it, they already want to teach us how to do these things. They already want to give us this information and technology. And then if there's any kind of like spiritual legal side of it, they just got the leader to say, yes, you can take, you know, and given permission.
It's also really interesting. A lot of these early subjects of abduction seem to be tied in with government officials. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of the children of these government officials were having like these really crazy experiences. So yeah, permission could definitely be an aspect of this that we're overlooking.
So technology-wise, I think we might have even seen a little bit of that in recent events with Venezuela. So like there's legends of Iraq. I was trying to look for the document for this. I've heard about it, but I can't authenticate. But supposedly there's a CIA released document that, and if anybody knows what this is and you have links, just drop it in the chat or in the comment section so people can click on it. But supposedly there is some kind of CIA document where they explored the idea of using like lasers and different technology to project an image of Muhammad in the sky, mm. telling the Iraqi people to surrender to the Americans. And like, if like that sounds wow. like Project Bluebeam to me, right?
Yeah, right.
Like, and also in Venezuela, just recently, there was an interview that was done with like the head of security for, what's his name again?
Maduro.
It's not that hard to remember. I can't remember his name. I got a lot going on in my brain, I guess.
You're Cuban. You're not Venezuelan. So.
I'm not Cuban. I'm Puerto Rican. What the heck's wrong with you? Jeez a whiz. How would you like it if I called you Chilean?
I would be a little offended.
There you go.
That's all part of the fun.
So it's the war of the Ricans here. The war of the Latinos here on the show. So where was I going? Oh, so he's in this interview and he said that during this invasion, the reason and way it was able to happen so quickly is that the Americans implemented technology that they never experienced before. And it was some kind of like psionic weapon, I suppose. And Jack, pull up the link for that. Shout out to HoloSky, guys. Can you double tap on the mouse to make that a little bigger for the people, Jack? There you go. That's a little too big. Zoom back out and then double tap on the actual image and then it'll pop it right onto that. Just double tap. Nope. Double tap on the, there you go. Double tap on that. There it is. So the HoloSky guys, they posted this on their Instagram. I haven't talked to them in a while. But supposedly that this instrument was used, and it just brought everybody down onto their knees. It's probably how he wasn't able to even get to his safe room. It brought everybody down their knees. Their ears started bleeding. It just totally took them out. And so, like, what kind of weaponry is that? What kind of technology is that that was implemented there? The crazy thing is, like, that's an advancement in warfare and technology in warfare that we hadn't seen yet. But just the idea of it doesn't seem very flashy to me. Like, it's just like the idea of having some kind of psionic weapon that scrambles the brain, makes your ears bleed, and puts you down on your knees doesn't seem that far-fetched to me.
Like 11.
Like 11. Did we talk about this before? I feel like you told me.
Last week, yeah.
We talked about this on the show last week?
We mentioned it.
We mentioned it, yeah.
Shoot, sorry about the repeat, guys.
No, but they've been doing this kind of research for a long time. And it kind of goes with, like, our human frequency, like, there's a certain frequency you resonate at. So if you hit the opposite of that frequency, I mean, yeah, it could just...
Yeah.
It's crazy stuff, man, they have.
Yeah, it's totally crazy. And so we have this technology that we have access to. Where did it come from? Well, I think it'd be kind of silly to say it's impossible for us to have created it on our own. But at the same time, when you look at the pattern and the explosion of technology and where we're at in the timeline... It does seem like something happened where man had this, like, what's it called? The bell curve when it just shoots straight up. Mm-hmm. Something happened where all of a sudden just the domino started falling, and we had just the table went from being half empty to being, you know, overflowing with information and technology for humans to be able to create all this stuff. And where did that come from? You know, like, was there something that we came to understand that spawned this explosion in a very natural way? Or could there have been something that was gifted to us to help us have this explosion? And did those gifts continue and keep coming? We also see there's a conflict amongst the idea of UFO, UAP entities, and man, military governments. So, like, it's this mixed bag where there's this constant mind game playing. It's real, it's not real. It goes back and forth. And you, as the receiver of all this information, never truly understand what the baseline is, what the foundation is. You know, because you have, like, these legends of, you know, our government working with these entities. You hear people talk about, I've seen man, a human being, working alongside the entity in cooperation. And then you see and hear stories of there being great conflict. And you know, speaking of great conflict, there's a couple of videos that I want to show people. And the first one we're going to show is a video that I don't have all the details on. All I know is that the government says that they were flares. And so within the video itself, there's this narrative of, we're going to show you, you're going to see something, and then we're going to tell you what you saw is not what you saw. Mm-hmm. And so in this first video, I guess the official narrative is that they're flares. But, well, you'll have to see what happens. It doesn't seem like they're flares to me, but I could be wrong. What do I know? I'm just a goofball. So for the people... not being able to watch and listening on replay, there's four hovering things in the sky. I highly recommend people to come to the YouTube channel and watch this. They seem like they're growing and morphing in size. And there's some kind of, like, tracker on this, like, camera tracker. I'm assuming this is military. And now these orbs in the sky aren't moving, but they're emitting some kind of plasma just dripping down out of the... It makes me wonder if this was not visible to the naked eye as well.
Right. I was thinking the same thing. Is this thermal?
Yeah.
Most likely.
But it looks like there's some kind of plasma just oozing out of these orbs. And then now they're warning you to keep an eye on the top right of the screen. Watch what happens here.
That's crazy. That shell actually bends and hits both objects, though. Yeah. It's not like a straight...
Jack, go back and play just that part again. So they're getting ready to shoot it here. Yeah, so, like, there's... You're definitely right. There's a missile that shoots... Let's just call it a missile, because I don't know what it is, but mm-hmm. It looks like a missile. Something was shot at these things, and and you see it make contact with both orbs, and the one, it, like, you're right, it U'd up just a little bit to hit the other one. And then after it explodes these orbs, they morph back into an orb again, oozing their plasma. And keep that up for a second, Jack. I want to keep looking at it while I talk about it. And so it makes you wonder, first of all, like, this orb that we're looking at here, is it physical? Is it complete straight plasma? What did they know about it before they shot at it? Did they think that they could explode it? Whatever they shot at it didn't explode. So did it actually make contact with anything? So, like, you think a missile, if it makes contact with something, it's going to explode. This missile shot through two different orbs. It looked like a smart missile of some kind where it actually could change direction. So maybe that was them trying to figure out if these are actually physical or what. It just, there's a lot of questions about this, right? Mm-hmm. And so the next video is something, in my mind, something similar. And this video came out late last year. Representative Eric Burleson dropped it in the one of the hearings, the disclosure hearings. And it, you see similar activity. If you could bring that up, Jack, and let people see what we're talking about here. So rewind and go back to that again, Jack, just to the spot that it makes contact. Oh, is this on YouTube or Instagram?
It's on Instagram.
I got you.
There we go. So I think it started over now.
So you see this UAP flying over the water, and then they try to shoot it down. And
yeah, so this, the description here says that this was on October 30th, 2024. It's an MQ-9 Reaper, which is the type of orb that they're, or missile, I'm sorry, that they were using to fire on the orb. And it was in Yemen, off the coast of Yemen, which Yemen is very riddled with warfare right now.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so they gave the green light to engage with this specific orb with obviously missile fire. And it, like you said, the exact same thing happened from the previous video that we showed, that it hits and doesn't even explode.
Yeah.
It just hits it and
bounces off.
Yep.
It's almost like there's like some kind of technology that keeps kept the missile from exploding. That's the big question mark here. It's like the missile didn't make contact with anything that made it explode. And in both cases, as far as we can see, the missile never exploded, and whatever was shot continued as uninterrupted as possible.
Yep.
And so it's, what kind of technology are we dealing with here? And who knows what? Where's the line drawn to from this is 100% real to this is blue beam to this is propaganda to, like, there's so many different things, right? Because we know that there are real people who have had real experiences with UFOs, abduction scenarios. We know that's true. So where's the line between these real lived experiences? And then you have the government coming in the room on the other side saying, yes, we agree, and here's what they are. And it's like where's the misfire? Where's the line being drawn? Is everything that they say in the government real? Probably not. I imagine there's a lot of releasing information according to what their end game agenda is. We'll get to that in a second, actually, with England, I believe. But we had a guy on the show late last year. And this is a sleeper episode. I mean, this is an episode that went, it was way better than what I think people really, like, I don't know what, maybe it was a bad thumbnail. Maybe it was a bad thumbnail and title because it just underperformed.
Mm-hmm.
But we had a guy on last year who was in a helicopter in the military on a mission, and they were doing a drug bust. And I forget what country, do you remember what country it was, Jack?
Colombia.
I think it was Colombia. That's what I was going to say too. We'll go with Colombia. His name's Ryan, and they were on this bust over water. So a lot of the drug trafficking was going from boat to boat over water, and they come in and these boats take off. And as they split, he's in a helicopter that's chasing one boat, and what he sees happen kind of shifted him into a whole other realm and reality of what, like literally, what is this world I'm living in? Like, I don't remember if I asked him this. I don't know what his perspective on UFOs, UAPs, extraterrestrials, supernatural phenomena, all that. I don't know what his perspective was before this event, but what happens to him out on those waters, like, shifted him into a whole new reality. If you can hit play on that, that'd be very, very helpful.
So we fly in, lights come on, we hit overhead. Nobody, you know, there was no gunfire or anything like that. So we don't, you know, we're law enforcement at this point. So we don't really, like, you know, disable them unless they start to run. So they did. So they both split up and one went right and one went left. So we followed the one to the right because that's where our ship was and the rib was. So we followed the one to the right and we pushed them. Now we're at like 50 to 100 feet over the water and we're on MVGs and we have them on FLIR and we push them basically into our rib and into the boat. So the boarding team is there with the rib. They come in, take positive control of those guys, like basically apprehend them. No shots fired, anything like that. They just take them. So that took about 15 minutes. So in that time, the other boat was just hauling ass the other direction. So my sensor operator had him on, we were focused on the one target, but he said he still had him on radar the whole time. So we turn back around to go pick him up. He's about, at this point, he's like almost a mile and a half, 2 miles away, maybe less than that. But so we have a positive radar contact and then I go pick him up on FLIR. So like the way the systems work in the helicopter is if you've got a radar contact, I can run the radar or he can run the FLIR, like we can pass him back and forth. So I give the controls to the right seat pilot. I take over the FLIR. He passes the radar contact to me and I lock it on my FLIR. So now I'm looking at the contact that he's got on radar and I'm vectoring the pilot over. And it's moving. It's going about, I remember it's going, six, actually wrote down, it's going about 60 to 65 knots, which is not uncommon. Like I said, these boats can go up to 70, but that's like flat. So the fact that he was hauling that fast on the ocean was the first thing that made us think it was weird. We were like, okay, he's moving really fast for it being a choppy night. It wasn't like a stormy night, but the weather, the ocean out there is always choppy in the South Pacific. So that was our first thing to be like, wow, he's really moving. So we pick him up on the radar. It shows like a little snail trail. Like you'll just see like the color like moving. It did not have altitude. So if it's above about 40 feet, it'll register on our radar as having altitude. So it had no altitude. So it was a surface-based contact. But once I lock it up on FLIR, I'm like, okay, I got it. It's moving. But as we start to get closer, like inside like two miles, yeah, you start to be able to pick out like the features of a boat. So like you see, the first thing that I noticed when I looked at the FLIR picture and that my sensor operator noticed as well is that there was no rooster tail. So like when you have outboards that are churning like really fast in the water, you know, this is a thermal camera, so it picks up heat. So friction in the water. So the things that you're going to see when you see a boat moving are you're going to see the water breaking over the bow. You're going to see the engines churning. That's also if you're on white hot mode or you're on black hot mode, it's going to show the heat. So we were on white hot. We switched to black hot, but you know, for the sake of the conversation. So white hot, you know, you'll see the white, you know, churn in the back of the boat. You'll see the spray being kicked up from the engines being white as well. You'll see the wake of the boat being white as well. And then you'll see the water hitting the bow. And then the metal is a different, you know, temperature than the water. So you're going to see everything's going to be very vividly defined. You can see the people on board and all that stuff. So the problem was for us is it still was just this little mass of just white hot. It wasn't really turning into a boat the closer we got. And it never turned into a boat. Like I expected it to turn into a boat. So we started thinking of weird reasons why it could be, like maybe we got some salt on the camera or something like that, but that's not a thing. And that doesn't happen. We were so confused. It got to the point where we started asking the ship because we have an encrypted link where they can watch our sensors as well. And so we can pass our sensors to the ship. We can all kind of watch it. So we're all going back and forth between radar and FLIR, just all dumbfounded, like what is going on with this thing? So we switched our radar mode to fire control radar, which is like a faster spinning radar. And it's even more detailed. So once we did that, same thing, like same contact, same speed, same everything. So at this point, it's coming left to right, like in front of us. At us. So it's what we call CBDR, constant bearing decreasing range. So it's just not changing course, coming straight at us. We had headed it off. And so it gets at about 800 yards from us. Now at this point, I should see it on my MVGs. I should be able to pick out what the guys are wearing on my FLIR. I can't see any of that. It's just this massive heat moving over the water. And so at 800 yards is when I really started to notice that when you're driving through the water and you're making a wake, like you leave a very defined thermal wake in the water when you're a boat. I mean, this is what we did. This thing didn't do that when it was moving over the water, whatever, you know, I'm assuming now at this point in my life that it was a UAP. It was like parting the water, like when we fly over the water as a helicopter. So it was like the water was being parted on the surface, not being driven in by an engine. That's just not, that's what the heat signature was showing. So then at 800 yards, it just stops moving. It goes from 66, 65, 66 knots, just stops, dead stop. We're still closing in on it. And then it just goes under the water, 100%. And we all saw it. My whole crew saw it. The whole ship saw it. We were all like, what the hell? Initially, we thought.
Yeah. So my live. All right.
Yeah.
He's on a mission and he's thinking he's doing a drug bust and he's chasing this thing. And then he sees what he thought was a boat do things that boats don't do. And then when it drops underwater, and he goes into more detail. Jack's going to put the link for that episode in the description. So if people are, if their curiosity spiked, they can check it out because it was a really good conversation. I was extremely excited to release that episode. And I was like, why doesn't anybody like this?
It makes me think that he's in thermal too, right? So he was watching it in thermal.
Yeah. Well, like, I don't know if it was exactly thermal. It was some kind of tech that they had. He was looking at through.
Yeah. I mean, but like in Vietnam, when they had the other night vision goggles and they were seeing like entities with it was a green night thermal.
Yeah.
Because again and again and again, with all these UAPs, they're not craft. Like what craft have you seen in here? They don't show us craft. They're showing us these orbs and lights and these like entity like things. Like, is this a view into the spiritual realm that we're seeing? And it's not actually.
What's the document you were talking about when you first started working here that was released that had
the Immaculate Constellation?
Yeah. And inside that document, they talk about how certain things that look like just clouds in the sky. If you had was it thermal or
I think it was thermal.
Mm-hmm. If you look at
infrared,
I think that's what it was. If you look at it through an infrared camera, it will look like, or you'll see what it actually is. It's actually a craft in the sky that looks like cloud to the naked eye. Mm-hmm. And so that does make you wonder, because like when you're seeing all the stuff that we just showed today, that's all through infrared or, you know, different kinds of technology. Is it the technology that's allowing us to see what's actually there versus what's actually there in the sky? Now, there are plenty of cases, like we talked about the Saratoga lights, Brown Mountain lights, people summoning these things and like CE5 and things. Mm-hmm. Like that's a real thing too. Mm-hmm. But And that's where this back and forth in your brain is like, well, what is going on here? You know, I mean, is it or isn't it? And it just feels like there's this constant like manipulation and mind game that's being played through people within positions of authority. I don't want to say government because it's not all the government, and it's definitely not all. It's not all the people involved are not government. Mm-hmm. But it seems like the idea is authority. There's people that are in position of authority who are releasing information and they're trickling it out the way they want to do it. Yeah. I sat in a conference and listened to a person speak who is intimately, foundationally involved in the launching of the disclosure. And seeing and hearing how that whole process came together and their reasoning behind what they did, how they did it, why they started calling it UAPs versus UFOs, told me that there's a strong desire to control the narrative. And forward speaking, outwardly speaking, at the conference in front of people, the idea is that so that people can consume, people can we do it this way so that people can actually take in what we're sharing with them, because it's so big, so massive that if we do it a certain way, if we call it UFOs and not UAPs, the people are going to turn it off. It wouldn't have gone anywhere, and all this what I think is probably a lot of fluff that's not entirely accurate. The reality is, I think people in positions of authority have a very strong desire and reason to control the narrative and rollout of this. And now the question is, why? You know, what is that? Is it because of your own human interests of wanting to be in charge and control? Well, if you know what these things really are, more than likely you're going to already know that you're not in control of much. And so is it that you're playing playing there on their team? Are you on a certain side? You're trying to expose information for certain people. We know that happens. We know that there's entities that people work for. They carry out their will. They do what they. So is it that on a macro level, not on a micro level for the individual, where you know somebody is sleeping and all of a sudden they're taken out of their body and they're told to work for an entity and all this stuff. But on a macro level, like groups of people working with an entity. And those groups of people are in positions of authority to what? Manipulate an entire civilization, an entire culture into a certain direction. These are all questions that I have and thoughts that I have on it that I'm just like, what is going on here? I mean, are we going to be invaded by aliens in 2026? It seems like every year anymore, at the turn of the year, there's this drum up of what's going to come that year in the UFO, UAP disclosure world. And it's like, oh, this is the year. And it's like, and they just piece feed things out strategically. And I don't want to say that. I don't want to say what I was about to say because I'm just going to let it there because I have reasons for why I think that. And it's not because I'm just sitting here in the studio openly pontificating. I do have reasons for those considerations.
Yeah. I mean, they're totally controlling the narrative. And what we're waiting for is the shoe to fall with non-human intelligence. Mm-hmm. You know, we have Representative Burchett, who actually said that there's entities, he calls them quote unquote entities, coming up out of the oceans. And so we're just waiting for that true definition and that true coming out of that there are non-human intelligence. They keep holding that back because they want to make sure that the narrative is going to fit exactly what they want to do. It's like you never let a good tragedy go to waste. It's the same aspect. Like they're not going to let any of this go to waste. Like all of this they can control and then they can maneuver the world and systems how they want.
The big question that of what you're saying is, well, who's the day and stuff? And honestly, I've had interactions with Burleson on multiple occasions, not just for interviews. Like I literally shared an hour and a half Uber ride with him. And like, I think the ones that are installing information into our culture, society, the underbelly of what you would want to call government, they do things very strategically and I know this is true. They will look at certain people and say, if I can get this person to do this or say this, then the domino starts there and 5 dominoes down, 10 dominoes down, theoretically, this should happen then. Mm-hmm. And here's the thing. If course changes 5 dominoes in, we'll do this to get it back on track. Mm-hmm. It's a constant manipulation game. And when it comes to Burleson, Burchett, Luna and others. So Burchett was the mayor of Knoxville. Was it Knoxville or Knox County? I can't remember. He was the mayor of either Knox County or Knoxville. I think it was Knoxville before he went to DC. And the locals here know him. And that's how I got connected with him because I know people that know him. And he was part of the Bigfoot community here. Before he went to DC, he was into the topics. He was part of different groups. And I don't know if he was going out research, but he was definitely into the topics, right? So he goes to DC, disclosure starts happening. I think that he would be a very natural landing point for somebody to be dripping information to, you know? And because his interest is already there, you know, like it's not, his job is not to investigate UAPs, UFOs, and all this stuff. It's not his job. But because he's on the committee, it provides this unique section of opportunity for this information to be dripped to certain people. Burleson, I don't think he was even into these topics. He just found himself as a politician on this board and then being a Christian and then getting exposed to the idea of the Nephilim and all this other stuff. And you're just like, huh. And then like, because he's truly curiosity driven, you see where he's at now with this stuff. So I think that's the dominoes that I'm talking about. Like, it's like you have all these different dominoes and we can't guarantee the direction it's going to go. But if we hit it just right, we think it's going to go this way. But if it doesn't, we'll either have another domino waiting or we can make a decision that will, like, we'll have another line of dominoes to intersect this one to push it on right back on course. Right. There's so many variables to this. And I think that this week or last week, I think it was. What's today's date? I don't remember. It was recently. This is now happening in other, well, it's always happening in other countries, but we have a publication of some news out of the UK that kind of pushes, again, this idea and this narrative. So warning, this is from Newsweek, warning issued that alien revelations could spark financial crisis. So there, this is, before we get into it, this is already laying the groundwork of alien revelation sparking financial crisis. Financial crisis is coming, and they're going to use alien revelation as the landing point as to why the financial crisis is happening, you know? And so, like, it's always this chess game. And it's like, not all these departments talk to each other. So it's not like the disclosure guys are meeting with the people in the UK, the governments in the UK, and be like, okay, here's the thing. Here's what we're going to do. It's like, no, I think everybody has their own agendas, and they're using different things for those agendas. And what you'll see in this article is that there's clearly a hierarchy of this information coming out, and the United States is at the pinnacle. Mm-hmm. They're at the top. Because other countries are actually reacting and making policies and decisions based off of what they think the United States is going to do with disclosure. It's kind of wild. A financial crisis could be triggered by an announcement that aliens exist, according to Helen McCaw, a former policy expert of the Bank of England. So this is somebody who, again, like, you have the corner people that I call them corner people, I suppose. It's people that they're not on the main stage, but you could reach in the back closet and pull them out and be like, oh, this is a very useful tool for the moment. And I'm trying to get to this part where, let me just find it here. There we go. McCaw told the Times of London that politicians and bankers can't afford to dismiss alien life. Okay, so she's laying groundwork here. Politicians and bankers, people, groups of people who theoretically, historically have nothing to do with aliens, they can't afford to dismiss alien life, and wrote that, or to the governor of the Bank of England, urging him to organize a contingency plan in case the White House confirms alien existence. And I think that what's happening here is you're going to start seeing other countries around the world, they have their own narratives that they want to build. They have their own information that they understand and know. Other countries have UAP, UFOs on video. I'm forgetting the name of it. The base in England in the 80s had the UFO. Rendlesham Forest incident, I think it is, right? So like that happened in the UK. It was an American base in the UK, and this whole thing unfolded multiple days. So like we know, but again, if it is an American base in the UK, again, it's American, United States leading the charge on it, the ones in control of the narrative. And I think that's what she's doing, is she's acknowledging that the White House themselves, the government within the United States, the people in the underbelly of the government are the ones controlling the narrative, and whatever happens, there needs to be contingency plans for. So let me just reread this again to you here. McCaw told the Times of London that politicians and bankers can't afford to dismiss alien life, and wrote to the governor of the Bank of England, urging him to organize a contingency plan in case the White House confirms alien existence. It's not, according to this, it's not even like this is going to happen. It's just, if the Americans continue to play games with the whole idea of UFOs, UAPs, and they keep pushing the narrative and their disclosure into the forefront of the consciousness of normal, everyday people, not Tony Merkel type people, but just normal people who don't think about this stuff, they keep doing this, what's the backlash going to be on our end? How are we going to feel it financially? And so I think you're going to start seeing, and you are seeing, different heads of government, organizations shoring up what they have going on in case this whole thing happens. I think 2026 is going to be a very interesting year when it comes to this stuff. There's a lot of people laying out their own prophecies on what's going to happen at certain points of the year. I believe that things are going to happen, but you got to pay attention to the story behind it and who's delivering the story and what it is. You have to be prepared for that. Don't be enamored and wowed and fascinated by the incident itself. Mm-hmm. Understand the incident itself is coming. Understand the incident itself is real. Be focused on the messenger and the narrative being displayed and pushed through the incident that actually happened. I think and maybe the incident that actually happened is not actually happening. Maybe it is a Project Bluebeam type situation, just like the awesome intro video that everybody got to see, right, Jack?
Oh,
they did see it? Perfect. Awesome. that actually makes me feel really good. I'm really glad people saw that. But does that make sense, though?
Yeah, and it's just interesting because the government can use this in any way they want to fundamentally change our whole world. So I was at Walmart or during Christmas break, and they were rounding all the pennies because there's no more pennies at the Walmart I went to.
Yeah.
And you know, the financial change is coming really quickly. There's talks of Trump wanting to change the head of the Fed,
mm-hmm.
you know, and this, and what he would have the power to control interest rates. Universal income is moving forward, you know, that's in the back burner somewhere, with AI technologies moving forward. All of this is simmering and getting ready. And if aliens are going to be the one to blame for it, I mean, that's just makes it easy for them to implement whatever they want.
With what you're saying and stuff, I was thinking about this this morning. I feel like there's a healthy portion of people who, if somebody else was the front man in the White House of the government, they wouldn't be okay with some of the decisions that are going to be coming out.
Mm-hmm.
And I think ultimately people have to really be understanding that the way the system works, you might be okay with giving a certain politician the rights and authority to do certain things because you personally trust that person. But that person has a shelf life. Mm. And that's why it's so important to be considering down the road, 30, 40, 50 years, your children's children, and what is the world going to look like underneath different leadership. That's why it's so important to keep the laws that we have intact, the rights that we have intact, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights. It's so important to hold on to that and not manipulate that so willy-nilly, because we're not guaranteed good leadership forever,
right?
You know, and so or ever, you know, because there's problems in my mind, I think there's problems with every leader that there is. I don't think we've ever had a perfect, of course we haven't had a perfect president, but even like a perfect government, like there's always been issues, right?
Correction.
And that was the whole point of it, though. Like when they wrote the Constitution, when they did this whole experiment, it was an experiment, and experiments have trial and error. There's always, and considering how young this country is, we're still in the experimental phase. Like, and so we're what, 250 years in? So this year, 250 years in. So like we're such a baby country, but we're teetering on the edge of, are we going to cross the line into moving forward and becoming, you know, manifest destiny or whatever you want to call it. Like what you be all you can be in the army, you know, or are you going to, you know, take everything that 250 years of trial and error have built to this point of success and take steps back to rebuild a foundation. And I'm very hesitant with that kind of stuff, even though I don't trust everybody that's in government. And so, you know, whatever comes from this UAP, UFO disclosure stuff, there's always going to be a push for manipulating laws, human rights, what we can and cannot do, how we need to adjust things, who we need to talk to, do we need to make room for these entities to manifest in our lives and help guide us and ascend us right to the next levels, and all this bullcrap that literally is an underbelly government that is going to try bubbling up the surface to mainstream government.
Mm-hmm.
We need to be ready and willing to see that for what it is and not trust it just because, oh, well, I voted for Trump, so I like him, so it must be okay.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, the narrative you have to be very careful with, because they're always going to manipulate that.
Yeah. There's a great deception
to their
coming.
Advantage. Absolutely.
And I think it's coming, might be at least starting this year to kick up.
It's very possible. They always want to focus in on an enemy.
Yeah.
And if the NHIs will not be the enemy, like who will be the enemy? Because it will be everyone versus whatever their manufactured enemy will be.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's very dangerous grounds, because when people are afraid, they give away their freedoms very quickly. And that's probably what we will see in the future.
Unfortunately. So that's what we are concluding to, that we're all doomed. There is no hope. Turn to Jesus. Turn to Jesus.
Daddy Jesus.
Because
sure.
It can only be, that's the only rock and foundation in which you can stand on. And I say that jokingly and kidding, laughing out loud on it, but it's true. Like, I mean, everybody has a religion, whether you think you don't or not, you have a religion. You have something that you put your faith in and trust in. And walking into these times, if you are not on guard, whether you think you're a Christian or not, you can be deceived greatly.
Yeah.
The Bible talks about people who believe that they were Christians being deceived. Mm-hmm. What's the verse?
Well, Jesus says, I never knew you. Like,
yeah, but the one where it's like, I know that one, but the one where the elect would be deceived if it was possible or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, there's this great deception coming. I think it's in Ephesians, isn't it? Jack can look it up.
Thessalonians.
Thank you. First or second?
First.
Okay. Chapter 2?
No, I don't know. I just know that from memory.
If you could just look it up, please. I think it's chapter 2, verse 22. I'll just pull it out of the hat, see if I'm right.
Matthew 24:24 says, even the elect will be deceived, warning that false Christs and prophets will perform powerful signs to mislead people.
Yeah, there you go. So like, it's just walking into these times, understanding that just because you wear the hat of Christian or whatever, if forget Christian, like whatever religion you are, like mm-hmm. you walking into these days, you have to be on guard. You have to be on guard because there is an enemy seeking your destruction that is looking for every possible cracked open door to leak information in, to manipulate how you view things. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times, like we were talking about with the Joseph Smith thing, like a lot of times there can be half truths. Like it can be like, yeah, here's some truth along with a lie. This lie, if I can get you comfortable with this truth, then you'll believe this lie. And this lie is the what I need you to believe and be right. damned with. So the world's gone crazy. Welcome to 2026.
And I think that begs to think about and process the idea that all these realms do bleed into each other. Like a lot of people like to hold this whole alien entity, NHI, like in a separate category than like supernatural warfare. And I think they, as we've even seen these videos, like those are not craft. Like these areas are bleed into each other
yeah.
really, really well.
Yeah.
And so we have to have that worldview.
Yeah.
It's important.
Oh man, I feel like I could really kind of go on and on, but Jack told me that he had to be done by noon today. So he's making his own hours this week. So we're going to wrap up today so Jack can go play volleyball. So no, happy birthday to your son. There's a birthday party today.
Happy birthday, Ephraim.
17 years old.
17, man. It's crazy.
Man.
Goes so fast.
Yeah. I mean, you don't look like you're old enough to have a 17-year-old, man.
I know, you should see my wife. Everyone thinks like, he's like, you're dating him? I'm like, no, that's my son. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, he looks just like a bigger version of you.
He does. People get him confused and then he stands up and then he's like massive. 5 inches taller than me.
He's so massive. I mean, he looks like he'd knock your head off. But no, happy birthday to your son, 17 years old, one more year and then he's an adult. And
volleyball birthday party, that's what he wanted.
Where are you guys doing that? It's in the January.
There's a gym. We rented a gym out.
Gotcha, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, my mind just goes to outdoor and I'm like, holy cow, you guys are crazy. Definitely not coming.
That's why you weren't invited.
Oh, perfect. Invited. Okay. No, if we're taking real life scenarios and stuff, just to put a damper on everybody's smiles, everybody watching right now, please just pray for my son, Ben. He's been sick for the last 4 or 5 days. On Friday, I had to go pick him up from school and they told him he couldn't come back. Or actually, it was Thursday. Right?
Oh, man.
It was Thursday because I was just hitting my ADHD groove in the afternoon and I got really irritated because I had to go and pick up my son from school. But he's still sick and fevers and all that stuff. So prayers for healing in Jesus' name over him and, of course, my wife as well. We're changing our vocabulary on that. And because Dr. Laura Sanger encouraged me to do this. Instead of saying my wife is battling cancer, I'm saying my wife is overcoming cancer.
Mm.
And so I think there is power in the tongue and there's power in what we say. And so, and just on that note real quick, I appreciate everybody messaging and telling us that you're praying for us. Please continue to pray. And on our end of things, like it's just a matter of life, it's reality. Our lives have not stopped. They stopped momentarily when we were shocked with the news, but we're still working. We're through life. We're making plans. I think me getting my life insurance together is a testament as to who we think is going to go first.
Still Tony.
It's still me. I'd be lucky if I make it to 65. I really feel like that sometimes. The way I was so hard on my body in my younger years, and then the stupid stuff I find myself doing at times. Yep, I'm still the number one on that list. So. But anyways, we appreciate everybody. Thank you for watching and listening. God is good. Be on guard and don't be easily deceived. I'll see you guys.
Oh boy, is that a slingshot?
Yeah. Slingshot season. Hey, let's run it.
Hey. Grace hit me like, boom, can't miss. No. God with me, whole squad gon' win. Devil try to throw shade. Cause the light too bright where I've been. Walk in the spotlight, who that? Standing in the slang and the true slap. Never in the way we move that. On my name for the hit like a durag. I was stuck in the valley that view bad. Now I'm up in the hills with a food bag. God took all my L's, ran through that. Now the wind stack high like a new stack. Every step with the light, that's a blueprint. Whole pack getting bright cause he doing it. He the king so the crown got a new fit. And the cross hit harder than a new clip. We ain't here just to buy this a movement. Every giant in the way, he'll move it. If the world wanna hate, we cool with it. Cause the love is strong with the truth. Like, no, God with me, whole squad gon' win. Devil try to throw shade, I grin. Cause the light too bright where I've been. I've been down in the dirt, now I'm cleaned up. Blood bought brand new, never dreamed up. Every thorn out of stone, tryna team up. Got 50,000 standing here, feeling beamed up. I remember them nights in the struggle. Feeling way down deep by the trouble. But he showed up strong, broke a muzzle. Now the fate built big like a double. We ain't here for the fame or the flesh. We just point to the king, let him flash. Living water in the cup, no cap in the well. Don't run dry, that's that facts. Now we running on the path with a show step. Every loss is a setup for the best yet. Every giant in my face is a test bed. God swing once, it's hit like, like, boom, can't miss, no. God with me, whole squad gon' win. Devil try to throw shade, I grin. Cause the light too bright where I've been. Grace hit me like, boom, can't miss, no. God with me, whole squad gon' win. Devil try to throw shade, I grin. Cause the light too bright where I've been. Up.